What's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 89. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
This is Ethan.
And Melissa. Oh, you just cut out.
It's okay. It's nice. We know it's Ethan because
he's
Ethan.
There.
Ethan is back from his trip to TIFF. You know what? We're gonna
other things.
Pardon?
And other things.
And other things. Yes, but that was a pretty big deal that you got to do that. That's why you weren't. That's why you missed a show, and that's a heck of a good reason, sir. I'm actually going to let you start off with what we watched this week, because I know you've got plenty to talk about.
Okay, other than Night?
Other than what?
Other than Night Court?
Yes, other than Night Court. I mean, you can talk about Night Court if you really want to, but I think your episode summaries on the site are doing quite well, honestly.
Okay, well, first thing I watched was Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, the Morris documentary, and I really enjoy it. It reminded me Jones' career, where his films were just kind of complete utter visual chaos. Though I guess that comparison makes sense because this was shot by Robert Richardson, who also did a bunch of Stone's films in that period. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. Next, I watched Antichrist.
I saw your Twitter about that.
The feel-good movie of the year, right?
Well, you know, there's all this controversy about it, about certain scenes, you know, involving genitals and whatnot, but kind of, once you've, like, read everything that's in the movie, kind of the shock wears off a bit. And I said this on Twitter, but I think it's kind of Lars von Trier's Freddy Got Fingered.
Do you mean that in a good way, or?
Yeah, if that's possible. I think the movie is a lot more tongue-in-cheek than people are giving it credit for. Like, I don't think for one second when Trier was writing the screenplay, he wrote, "Now the fox will talk," and he was taking that seriously.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, it was good. I finally saw Tron.
Okay, and? I'm not expecting you to like it.
I enjoy, like, the story, visuals were pretty kick-ass, so it was enough for me to give the movie a pass. I'll definitely see Tron Legacy when it comes out. I watched Roadkill, which is a Canadian movie, because I really need to watch more Canadian cinema.
Did it have Joshua Jackson?
No, but it had Don McKellar, and it had the Scotiabank in the background, and I'm pretty sure someone was eating donuts at one point, so yeah.
Well, I guess that's all you need.
The last thing I watched was Faster, Pussycat! Kill! Kill!
The cinematic masterpiece, right?
Yes. I don't know what it is I watched, but I know that I liked it quite a bit.
Cool.
And where did you see this masterpiece?
Turner Classic Movies.
That's astonishing.
Though it didn't come with the usual Robert Osborne introduction, so maybe, and it was on at like 2 in the morning, so maybe that says it all.
You think they did Turner like fell asleep for a while and like some pirate programmer just kind of stuck it on?
That wouldn't shock me, though. You know, I think they've shown like Evil Dead 2. So.
Oh, wow. Man, yeah. That network's getting hipper.
Hey, it's way better than American movie classics. They show crap all the time.
Yeah, and then like full screen and edited. It's ugh.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so who wants to go next?
Me.
Okay.
Well, Barry and I had the pleasure of seeing Jennifer's body on Monday.
We'll get to that.
Ooh,
yeah, and I have a Diablo Cody thing planned. So,
so we will get there, yes.
And I saw The Goonies for the first time.
Yay!
You have one up
you
on
guys!
Me.
Which, by the way, Josh said he never wanted to see, and he owns it, and was like, I think I'm just going to never watch that. Yeah, I wish I had never watched that, too. It was nothing.
What?
I didn't grow up with anything like that, and of course I was watching it with someone who was like, you have to see this, like, this is so awesome, and it's like, yeah, like, when you're four, because this came out in, like, 85. What?
Five?
Yeah.
I remember watching that at like a day or an after school camp once, and I was like the only one who liked it.
Yeah. So. Well,
I'm right there with you, like with E.T., because I didn't see E.T. until I was like in high school, and I was just not
see,
at all
I grew up with E.T. because my parents met on a blind date to E.T.
Awesome.
But
my mom and dad, their first date was The Accused.
Holy crap. I'm speechless.
So not the biggest fan of the Goonies.
No, definitely not. But whatever, I can say I've seen it now.
Yeah, you got one up on me. So yeah, I need to fix that.
Yes, and I finally saw Inglourious Basterds. Oh my God, I am so mad at myself for not having seen it sooner. I loved it, every second of it. So I will be seeing that again. And I also...
DVD the day it comes out.
Yeah, for
best
sure.
Best picture of the year.
Pretty much.
Almost, yes.
And then I also saw True Lies for the first time. Awesome. Oh my gosh.
It's a fun movie.
I've actually never seen that.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
You know, like,
take it or leave it. I'm not a big Arnold fan. He's just not... It's not Pierce Brosnan or anything. Come on.
Am I going to have to do the Arnold impression?
Please.
Okay. I'm going to treat this like my Daniel Plainview. So I have to get into character. Take a sip of Pepsi here. Wow, wow, wow. That was good, right?
Yeah. There you go. Dead on.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So True Lies, not the biggest fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're not an Arnie fan, I can see that one.
Did you think Jamie Lee Curtis was really good in that?
She was so unattractive for most of the movie.
Is it?
Maybe for the time period, that was considered really hot, like long skirts and big, giant, ugly glasses. But
isn't she like a tranny? No, doesn't she have like man parts or something? Isn't that like...
Holy crap, man, that's so mean.
Isn't that like true? I'm not making that up.
No, it's not true.
Not true lie. Yeah. No, she doesn't.
I see what you did there.
And you're a little bit horrified by that, Roxy. We have people in attendance listening, and you liked True Lies?
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an awesome movie.
Okay.
Isn't a douchebag coup in that? Or
yeah. What?
Tom Arnold?
Tom Arnold.
Yes, he is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It was the best thing he ever did.
He was a great sidekick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paxton's good. Tia Carrera's good. Yeah, good movie.
But it's okay. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Anything else?
No.
What did you like better, True Lies or The Goonies? I'm so disappointed.
The pained look on your face before you said that really just kind of said it all.
I talked to you about that the other day when we were driving up, and it's just a bunch of screaming little fat kids the whole movie. It's like, okay, and they're going on this lame adventure.
Only one of them was fat.
Okay, well, he was screaming and like begging for ice cream the whole movie.
And he was endearing.
He was annoying, but.
But his family shows at the end, and they have pizza for him. That's like the most touching thing I've ever seen. Encouraging childhood obesity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the Goonies, but I'll admit, I mean, it's talk about stereotyping. The fat kid is called Chunk. The Asian kid is called Dana. You know, yeah, it's a little disrespectful, but.
Fair enough. Listening in the background, we've got Roxy, Josh's mom, Barry's wife, Julie, and my wife, Stephanie. So, yeah,
hey.
They may or might not chime in, just kind of hanging out. It's a great time.
It's a crowded house.
I guess I'll go next because I've got like one thing on the list, and that was seeing Ink for the second time, getting to introduce the film and host the Q&A, which was a great time. It's a great movie. It's even better yet. I would venture to say it's kind of a toss-up between that and Inglourious Basterds as best year of the movie of the year for me. Just really loved it even more the second time. It has nothing to do with the fact that I got to do all that cool stuff.
I'll believe you.
And really, that's been about it. Yeah, some more leverage and yippee. Mm. So, yeah, go ahead, Barry. What you got? Wrap it up.
I saw Whiteout with Kate Beckinsale. It was kind of like the movie I talked about last week, The International. If it weren't for the action sequences, the movie would be completely forgettable. It's weird that Beckinsale makes so little impression in this movie. I remember the snow, I remember the setting, I remember stuff exploding, but I barely remember her in it. She's just unimpressive actress, honestly.
She's given a good performance in something. I'm just trying to remember what it was.
The one she did with Rockwell, was it Snow Angels?
She was really good.
She was great in that. Yeah, whenever it's like an action movie, I just don't think that's her. I really don't think that's her thing. What else did I see? I saw a really interesting one called Sleeping Dogs Lie. Have you seen this, Ethan?
Isn't that Bobcat?
Yes. Have you seen that one?
I've heard of it. I know the premise.
Yeah, which I won't describe because I don't want to get an explicit tag. But very good good movie. Extremely raunchy, a little shocking, but one of the best movies I've ever seen about basically accepting people despite their dubious sexual pasts. Kind of the same material as Chasing Amy. Very good film. Choke, which I thought was really a, which was a really,
wow,
yeah,
kind of
a
weird double, a week
this weird
week.
Double feature. Yeah. Choke was really disappointing. It starts off really strong and then it becomes just unwatchably bad. Sam Rockwell's good in it, but the fact that it was compared to Fight Club does not help it at all. But it just becomes really overly sentimental and really messy and unfocused, and I couldn't wait for it to end.
That's kind of how I felt about the book.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book, but still.
Yeah, I was really disappointed by Choke. And finally, yeah, I did see Ink, and I totally agree with Dave, and I'll just say it for the record, if Kiowa and Jamin are listening, it doesn't matter that we met them. I would say the same thing if I'd never met them. It's definitely one of the best films of the year. It's one of the most impressive movies I've seen all year. I think the last time I saw an indie film that impressed me that much was Primer, made back in 2004. This is one of the finest movies I've seen in 2009. It's a testament to imagination, and it's proof that the independent film movement is alive and well. Yeah, very pleased, very glad Dave brought this movie to Screen Geeks, because this is good stuff, and it's exciting to get behind something that really does speak for itself. I mean, anybody who sees this movie is drink the Kool-Aid and join the cult. I mean, you know, and it's understandable because it really is that good. It really is.
Cool. So. Is that it for you, sir?
That's it.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about what hit. Essentially, just so everyone knows, we're going to do the releases for this week and next week. One very brief news story, and we'll take a break, and then we'll be having our discussion celebrating the life of Josh. So let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this past weekend.
This week in theaters, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, with the voice of everybody from Mr. T to Bruce Campbell, currently the number one movie in America. The number two movie in America is The Informant, the Steven Soderbergh dramedy with Matt Damon, supposed to be really good.
I liked it.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad somebody saw it.
I saw it at Toronto, yeah.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
So Matt Damon and Soderbergh were there. It was pretty cool.
Very sweet.
Cool.
Did you see him?
Well, yeah, but from kind of like a mile away, but still.
Well, it's still better than us, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's still meh. Wait, can you do the...
Yeah, I was just getting ready. It's starring...
Matt Damon.
Okay.
Nice.
But it was just one last thing. I said this on Twitter, but it's basically everything I want a Rod Blagojevich movie to be.
Excellent.
That's an interesting way to look at that. Okay.
Also opening up, Jennifer Aniston in Love Happens with her and Aaron Eckhart. Julia saw this. Not happy about it. The film that I did see, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Jennifer's Body, currently the number five movie in America. Thank you, America, for not embracing Jennifer's Body. This thing has flopped. It's dead in arrival. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If this thing was a hit, this would have been like, okay, this would have hit the green button. All of a sudden, she'd be starring in all these movies. No, thanks to this movie not opening, this was her big test as a marquee name. Unless it's a movie with robots, she can't open it. And limited release, you got Bright Star with Abbie Cornish, the new Jane Campion movie, supposed to be great, and The Burning Plain.
I've seen
Plain.
It too.
Oh, you've seen that too? That's right. Awesome. Yeah. Good movie?
Yeah, I thought it was a lovely film.
Sweet, sweet.
When does it open up out here?
We get it the end of the month.
Okay, so the screening hasn't happened yet.
Mm-mm.
Okay, good.
No, not yet. And then The Burning Plain with Charlize Theron and Kim Basinger.
Did you see the Charlize Theron with Matt? Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was
she definitely held her own with that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just random thing. Okay, let's talk about Jennifer's Body. Melissa was thinking about writing a review, and then why didn't you write one?
Well, I've just been really busy, and it's like, I wanted to write it before it came out and get it to you, so I was just kind of like, whatever, because I had a lot of homework. But I can still write you some.
No. It's just because you didn't have anything to say. That's what you said, which is the perfect reason. I love that reason not to write.
I think that what I was expecting, I mean, Josh read the script to this and he was like, so I just remember him sitting there for like a day, just like intently reading this, like, what is this crap? And every once in a while I would just hear him like, be like, what? And like start laughing. And he just thought it was going to be the worst thing ever. And I don't think it was as bad as I was anticipating. And it definitely wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Sorry, this is slightly off topic, but I gave him the script to the Nightmare on Elm Street remake too. So.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was all about scripts, but I don't know. She just, I think from a male perspective, if I was watching this, I felt like it was a girl's movie because the two girls are all like, "Oh my god, we're best friends," and like we go to high school, and so it's like. it wasn't, other than them being in little boy shorts on a bed together for one scene, it's really nothing interesting. And even after Barry and I saw this, it was like, gosh, she didn't even get naked. What the heck? Like, I mean, come on. You can't have a movie with body in the title and you don't show it.
Body of evidence? Oh, wait, was there nudity in that?
There was a lot of nudity in Body of Evidence.
Okay,
with
I'm wrong. Body of Lies, huh? Was there nudity in that?
Body of Lies. Oh, the one with DiCaprio? No.
Yeah.
No.
We didn't see goodness. Russell Crowe's bloated butt. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So it was
Basically, her character was extremely into herself and prissy and just like, I'm so effing hot. And that's pretty much what I think of Megan Fox, how she thinks of herself. Because it's like, you know, you're really good at only one thing, thinking you're hot. So I think she really genuinely thinks that. But I actually was reading the other day about how she was like made fun of in high school and people were throwing like ketchup packets at her or something because she was so ugly in high school. And it's like, I don't even want to know what Hollywood did to you to make you look the way you do.
That reminds me of something else. I was hanging out with a friend and he was saying he saw her on Conan the night before. He's like, oh, she's so hot and stuff. I'm like, no, nah, she's too much like a porn star for me. He's like, that's a bad thing?
Yeah, I saw your tweet. And actually, the in the very beginning when she kind of transforms or whatever and she has like all this blood on her teeth and she's in the kitchen and she just smiles at her friend Needy, and it was like, oh, kind of creeped me out. Totally had like a nightmare about that later because it was creepy. And so it's like she's like demonic, so how can she be attractive? Because if it just didn't connect to me. So
fair enough. What did you think about it, Barry?
Well, Melissa and I saw the same movie. I mean, we really saw the same movie. It's just nothing to get excited about. She's absolutely right. The title is a put on. There's no nudity. The scene where Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox make out is, 12 seconds, and it leads to nothing. Nothing. There's a big deal made in the whole movie about how Amanda's character, who is named Needy, is in love with Jennifer, but they never do anything with it. It's like it's because Seyfried's character has a loving boyfriend who dotes on her, but it's like, is she gay? Is she closet gay? Is she bisexual? The movie makes nothing about it. It's just the scene is just there because it wants to win an MTV Best Kiss Award next year. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason it's there.
But it's going to lose to New Moon.
It is going to lose to New Moon. Big time. The movie, it's nothing to get excited about. The movie isn't scary enough. It's not funny enough.
Can you mention Diablo Cody to make a transition from my rant?
Yes, and it's a come down from the director, from the writer of Juno, Diablo Cody.
Okay. Rant time!
No. Did you see this too, Ethan?
No, I haven't gotten around to it, but about Diablo Cody, I can understand not enjoying Juno, but seriously, the hate for her is getting just ridiculous. I think it's kind of misogynistic to a point. I think I just hear people always say, oh, she should go back to stripping because she can't write. But I think that the internet movie fan sphere is kind of just a boys club, and they want every movie to be a Martin Scorsese crime epic starring Daniel Day-Lewis, and they hate movies about female main characters. So they see Juno, and there's a female main character who's strong, and they're like, what is this shit? And I feel like it just bugs me. I feel like there's just so much misogynistic feelings toward Diablo Cody, and it just drives me nuts. So, yeah.
I'll counter that and say, don't you think that if Kevin Smith had written Jennifer's Body, we'd all be saying, this is the worst thing Kevin Smith has ever done. Shame on him. He needs to go back to Snoochie Booches.
Jersey Girl.
Well, he's done a few movies that weren't that great, but I mean, don't you think the product is getting insulted here more so than the actual person? Because Oscar for Juno. I mean,
saying there's been so much backlash that's on like internet message boards. It's just ridiculous. People just say, "Oh, she should go back to stripping," and it's just. I honestly think that a lot of people like on the message board kind of boards are just honestly they hate women. I'm saying that right now. They hate movies with female main characters.
Well, if we're talking about the guys who post on the talkbacks that ain't it cool or not, exactly talking about the brightest bulbs in the drawer either.
They don't hate women, they just don't know how to talk to them.
Exactly.
Which is why they're online.
They know how to download women. Yeah, they don't know how to meet women.
They hate what they don't understand.
Yes.
wow, we're just going to get so much hate mail, or our subscription rate is going to drop like a rock.
You have a point, Ethan. I mean, if it's just bashing her because she's a woman, yes, that's completely wrong. But I go with the whole thing of, like, if they're bashing her because of Jennifer's body, which I think is a serious artistic come down from her, especially because the screenplay for Juno, as flashy as it was, it really was a skillfully written screenplay. I think she is so much better in her than an update of a slasher film.
I'd say this was before, like, Jennifer's body was even announced. People heard, like, Honest to Blog, like, what is this shit? Go back to stripping.
Well, that's just because it's stupid internet fanboys.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I don't have thick enough skin, so.
Fair enough. I think, to be completely fair, I think Juno was a good movie. I think that the fact of what happened with Little Miss Sunshine tempered a lot of people's excitement for the film. Because a lot of people were like, this movie was so great. And they go watch it a second time and they were like, eh. So that first time with Juno, I didn't let myself get quite so yippee-skippy. And when it got nominated for the Best Picture, I didn't think it deserved it. And that was legitimate. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Like, yeah, I'm a fan of the movie, but I can understand not liking it. But I feel like if it was written by a guy whose name was Tim Thompson, who didn't dye his hair every week, there would be like none of that hatred for the movie, to be honest.
Well, that's because people always hate success to some extent.
Sure, and they're always willing to just destroy the idols that they build up. I mean, this phase of Juno was so huge and so popular, it was pretty quick before the turnaround was like, oh, that wasn't that great, it's overrated. And
exactly. Because people, it's like when you find that band that you love and then they make the big time and, oh, they suck now. It's the same band, usually, you know.
Well, it's like now. I mean, The Dark Knight is easy to make fun of now that it's been a year. Now people like me are roaming the streets and knocking The Dark Knight. But the summer that movie was out, I was hiding. Hiding.
Yeah. We voiced our opinions, but yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about what is hitting DVD this week as well.
So we got on DVD, the other mall cop movie, Observe and Report, starring Seth Rogen. You liked this, didn't you, Ethan?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
I read something. You know what Tarantino's two favorite movies of the year so far are?
What's that?
Observe and Report and Bright Star.
Hmm.
That's an interesting...
I thought Inglourious Basterds was going to be his other favorite. Anyway, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, Matthew McConaughey and Mrs. Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, supposed to be not very good, even though it did a lot of money. The Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, Season 2. Simon Baker is The Mentalist, complete first season, who cares? 30 Rock, Season 3. Castle, yay, with Nathan Fillion, the complete first season.
And we have a voicemail about that later.
Very good. Let's see, Brotherhood, the final season. I didn't know there was a first season. Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, the 10th year. What is this crap? Oh, here we go.
I don't know. I'm like, that's not on the list.
Sorry. Finally, Friday the 13th, the series. Yay, the final season.
And you got Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles. We have Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz coming to Blu-ray as well.
Oh, yeah. Blu-ray release. Yeah, that's right.
And Battle for Terror.
Question about the Friday the 13th thing. So does it or does it not have any relation to the movies?
Zero.
No relation.
Okay, because I saw, like, the cover and it has, like, the Friday the 13th font and everything. Yeah. It has, like, something that looks like the Jason mask. Like, what's the dealio there?
Same studio, same producers, but they basically just capitalized on the name. But fans forgave it because it was really, for its time, such a quality anthology horror show. It's about this antique store where all of the antiques are cursed. They all have a special power, like a ventriloquist dummy that comes to life, that sort of thing. And the people who own the store are basically trying to buy back all the antiques that they've sold over a period of time. So every episode, it's a new cursed antique. It's very creepy.
Okay.
So, yeah, no relation to Crystal Lake.
No, not at all. Okay, let's go ahead and cover our one news story. Do you want to cover it, Barry? Or?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You grow up with somebody, it's kind of hard to say, like, well, back in the... No, I mean, I grew up watching the movies of Patrick Swayze. I think everybody in here did. It's hard to... I don't remember a time in my life when I wasn't aware of him. I mean, everything from the B-movies like Red Dawn and Steel Dawn. And but then you get the stuff like...
Steel Dawn?
Remember Steel Dawn?
No.
That's the one where he's... it's a post-apocalyptic movie. He lives underground. That's the movie that he did with his wife back in 85, 86.
Okay, so it wasn't like a sequel to Red Dawn.
No. Yeah, Steel Dawn. Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's not a good movie at all.
Okay.
Skate Town USA. I mean, he's done some real B-movies. He's certainly worked his way up the ranks. Then he was in Coppola's The Outsider. Fighters, and then Youngblood, and then Dirty Dancing happened, and all of a sudden everybody in the world knew him. And then Ghost happened, and we actually saw the guy could act. Ghost came at the perfect time because he had done a bunch of movies like Roadhouse, which is now a cult hit, and Next of Kin, which were real box office flops. And, you know, he was just doing these movies where he's taking off his shirt, showing his butt, and people are like, okay, he's one of those Lorenzo Lamas types. Then he does Ghost, which is the biggest hit of the year and one of the most loved movies of all time, and showed that he had real dimension to him. And then what does he do? He follows it up with Point Break, one of my favorite movies. But the fact of the matter is you can't ignore that he did love to act, and he really gave some amazing performances. I want to mention Green Dragon, a movie that he did with Forest Whitaker, fantastic movie. And then, of course, Donnie Darko. What guts. Yeah, what really guts to take that role. That's an unplayable role. You don't take a part as a pedophile in a movie that a lot of people are going to see. That's career suicide. But he played that part so brilliantly. One of the best modern day dancers. I was recently reading that he had a style that was described as a kind of a masculine style of dancing, just like Gene Kelly had.
Speaking of that, are you going to mention the SNL skit?
I was going to, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the most classic SNL skits of all time.
That's what made me love Patrick Swayze, was when he did the Chippendales dance skit with Chris Farley.
Yeah, brilliant skit. And and of course, you know, I mean, the guy did two Wong Fu, for Pete's sake. He was not afraid of what people thought of him, and he was not afraid to take huge, huge risks. So, yeah, our thoughts and prayers will go out to his family. He was one of the great ones. He really was.
Absolutely. Did you want to say anything, Ethan?
I had a friend who pronounced his last name as Swayze.
Sounds like a hair goop.
It Swayze. Does, yeah.
All right. Well, anyone else want to chime in at all, or shall we take a break?
Henry Gibson died.
Oh, yes, yes.
Dr. Klopek is no longer with us.
Okay, now I know who. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Klopek.
He's in one of my personal favorite movies, The Long Goodbye.
Oh, I love that movie, too. Very cool. Very nice.
He will be missed as well.
Yeah, yeah. Great character actor. The voice of Wilbur in Charlotte's Web. And he was the grocery store owner in Innerspace, too. Yeah, great guy.
So yeah. Another Joe Dante.
Yeah. So, yeah, Henry Gibson, you will be missed, man.
Cool. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
In a world where knowledge is power, in an age where time is the most valuable commodity, in a voice that's killing my throat, comes a podcast that will bring you wisdom in less than 1 minute a day. So join me, Martin Darkley, as we journey to enlightenment. Our teachers, classic lines from cinema history. Come then to moviemantras.com and begin a voyage to a higher state.
And we're back. We're going to talk about our friend Josh Green, who passed away just recently. How would you like to start this?
You know, I think I want to say why we're doing this. Okay. We've gotten quite a few emails and things from people, and we've really appreciated it. What's really struck me was the fact that all the emails that we've received have had the same feeling that I've had when I listen to other podcasts, and that's as you listen to a show and you listen to these people for 50, 60, 70, 80 episodes, we're almost coming up to 90 now, 150 if you count in the first showing days, just about, you really get to know this person and consider them to be a friend, even though you've never met them in your life. You know, Martin Darkley, you know, we just played his promo for Movie Mantras. Never met the man in my life, but he couldn't be a nicer guy. We're good friends. Billy Flynn, I just met him this past, you know, spring at Starfest. And you build this rapport with someone, even if it's only on one side. And we got that a lot. And while we've all had time to kind of process through this a bit, I kind of figured it might be important to give everyone else a chance to do the same. We're not going to be sitting here crying the whole time or anything like that. It's going to be a celebration of Josh's life, along with some very wrong clips. But, yeah. but you know, just talk about, you know, what we loved about the guy and some of the episodes that we loved. And, you know, we got, for people who are new listeners and aren't familiar with Josh, we've got episodes for you to go back and listen to if you'd like to or whatever. So, aside from that, I really don't have much format in mind. Who wants to go first? Well, I'll take turns.
What's the first movie you ever took him to? Do you remember? Or the first movie you ever saw with him? Can you remember that far back? Roxy? Talking to Roxy, Josh's mother.
You know, we just talked about that with him and his dad, and I just talked about that. He was pretty little, and it was an R-rated movie. I want to say he was 3 or 4 years old, and we did cover his eyes and plug his ears a lot. I do not remember the name of it. I'll remember when I get home, of course.
That's great. But
we started him off very young.
That's awesome. Melissa, you have quite a bit to say. Let you begin, and we'll intersperse throughout the whole thing.
Well, of course, the first video footage of anything I ever watched with Josh was a U2 concert.
Big I'm
surprise
shocked.
There. Which, good memories of that. And then I actually came home and showed him A Hard Day's Night.
So you had the cultural exchange.
And I was like, you got to watch this. And then I think that was the last time he ever watched a movie I wanted to watch. And I can see why. He was just trying to be nice. But the first actual theatrical film we watched together was The Fountain, which... Yeah, that's. I was half asleep towards the end of it, and he's like, "Oh, what did you think of that? Wasn't that great?" Yeah, okay. And he had to explain the whole thing about how they started making the movie with Brad Pitt and whoever, and then they redid the whole thing. Whatever. He was so into that, and never watched it since, but loved the soundtrack. So that's interesting, though. And then our first date, I didn't really know what we were going to do. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm going to go see a movie with this guy, whatever. We go up to the Hard Rock Cafe in Denver, have dinner, it's all nice, whatever. We're almost late, and Barry calls us, are you going to come here? I don't want to see this movie alone. Like, you better not stiff me on this. And he's like, yeah, we're coming. And so we rush over to the Mayan, and he leaves me there in line with Barry, and I've never met him before. Oh, hi. He's like, Barry's really nice. I'm going to go get tickets. Bye. Okay. And honestly... could have been easily one of the worst dates I ever had, but it was definitely one of the best. I mean, we got lost on the way there. We were late seeing Repo, the Genetic Opera. Very weird movie. Yeah, Ethan, it was... So, not to brag, but, you know, I'm a pretty good person for staying with him after seeing rock opera... What would you even describe that as?
Grunge, horror, rock, opera, whatever the heck that thing was, yeah.
And of course, I'm, you know, rather conservative looking, and we walk in, and there's people dressed up in, like, full-blown costume with, like, face makeup, just, like, freaks. I'm like, okay, this is what we're watching. And the whole movie, I'm sitting there just kind of like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so gory, it's going to be so awful, and it never really was, so it was a good experience, and... we listened to much of the soundtrack a lot, but never really fully watched the whole thing again.
But he came back from that really... date saying he had you.
Yeah.
Wine and sinker from that date. So.
Yeah, after that date, I told Melissa this, three words I never heard him ever say again. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Never again.
Oh, never again.
Never. No,
that's
never
a feat. That is a feat.
Yeah, I knew something was up. So.
Yes. Should we talk about the time, how we met him?
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about it back in the origin of Screen Geeks episode or whatever.
It's good stuff. No, let's talk about it.
It's the fun of meeting just these random guys. We saw him first at the Superman Returns screening when it opened that night before, because it wasn't a midnight screening, so us old men actually went. And
yeah, you saw him. I didn't saw him. You said, like, there were these guys there just, like, camped out of the theater. I'm like, that's weird. And you said, yeah, we should go back and interview them.
What prompted me was the fact that they were giving away a Superman poster.
That's right.
I'm like... that's weird. They camped out and they saw, okay, let's talk to them. So we saw them on their next camp out, which was before
Pirates of the Caribbean 2, right?
Yeah. What a, wow.
Yeah.
That means that shows his tenacity and commitment right there.
There was just something about him, because I remember the first time we saw him, and, you know, he's got this tent set up. I mean, he was, like, literally camping in front of this movie theater, and it was just him and his other very strange-looking friend, and I thought, who is this guy? And It struck me right away how funny he was, and because he had a really good sense of humor about what he was doing. He's like, oh yeah, this is great because it's the first showing, you know, it's the first time this movie's open, we're going to be there, and we're the first. I mean, he was so enthusiastic about what he was doing,
not just being the first at the first showing, but at the first seat at the first showing.
That's right. Yeah. He was so excited about that. And then, you know, to kind of counter his enthusiasm, the last question I asked him was like, is this a good way to meet girls? And he laughs, that wonderful laugh of his, and he goes, no, actually, it's not, no.
Not even a little bit. Yes. And a friendship was born then.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was, I mean, I always look forward to whenever he came over and recorded with us. He was always just so effortlessly funny, and
And you got to know Josh mostly through the podcast, right, Ethan?
No, we hung out and we had a rendezvous in Switzerland.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh, no, I'm leaving the room.
I knew him first from when you guys did your old podcast over at I won't mention.
That's okay. It's for showing.net. We worked for him. Yeah.
I always liked all of you guys. I liked Barry. I liked Dave. The other guy, but Josh always stood out to me. Like he felt like the one I kind of related to the most. You know, the sense of humor he had, and his taste in movies, and his story. He always had good stories. I got to meet him about a year ago when I did my first real show for here, and I think we hit it off really instantly. We're kind of. Nothing against, you know, you two, Dave and Barry, but we were more of a similar generation, me and Josh.
Of course, absolutely.
There were just some things, like some cartoons we watched when we grew up that we just related to more, and some, you know.
That's the first thing that just came to my mind.
He had a wonderfully self-deprecating sense of humor. I couldn't find it. I tried to find it. There's a clip of one of my favorite things that he did on the show, this running joke he would do where he would do an impersonation of himself asking out Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but having to take hits off his breathalyzer.
Yes.
You know, his inhaler. Yeah, he used to do that all the time. It was so funny. Like, he had such a sense of humor about everything about himself, and I really appreciated that. Because, you know, let's face it, us web people, we can take ourselves very seriously. So I appreciate that. He was just so funny about, you know, like, I mean, yeah, he's a big geek, just like all of us.
Absolutely. We talk about the show. There is a clip. Let's just get it over with now.
Yeah, let's do it. This is from Leonard Part 6, the commentary that we did. This is like a good hour into the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's just watching it. I'm sitting on in my recliner. Barry and Josh are sitting on the couch, and my dog Harley is laying between them. If you haven't listened to the commentary, you should like watch it on. It's on Netflix. Watch it now, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you should absolutely watch it. But yeah, there's just this one moment that you just really can't describe otherwise.
A belching ostrich. That's something you don't see all the time.
Oh, my balls! Your dog just wailed me in the balls. Oh, and I've been getting it constantly for the past 30 minutes from the movie.
That's like the fourth time we've listened to that today, and I still can't stop laughing about it.
I'd make that my ringtone if I could.
But it was the moment. It's the fact that you can always make a joke out of any situation. Yeah. Like, there was never really any down times. You know, not that there aren't ups and lows in life, but always finding the bright side of it, if you will.
He had a way of getting everybody involved at UCCS and the film club really excited about film. There's a lot of classmates that he had that have told me, like, oh, Josh got me to watch this, and he got me to appreciate exploitation film. And
I don't know about
But, like, yeah, he has all these people I know who have testified just how much they've been affected by him. I mentioned this at his wake about how I was extremely nervous about flying anywhere within California. And so what he did to kind of take me away from the fact that I was flying, and I'm a really nervous flyer, he put on these episodes of Frylock and Hawkerteen Hunger Force. Yeah, he put on these episodes of Hawkerteen Hunger Force that were so funny, and we were just cackling and howling, and everybody else is kind of looking around. It's like what's happening to the cabinet? he always had a way of doing that. He always had a way of just making everything so much funnier than it was. Something really weird. I remember the first night we were in San Diego together, and we ate at this place. I can't remember where we ate at, but it was pretty basic and generic. But I remember afterwards, he was like, man, that place was so fantastic. We need to go back there, man. They had the best food. And I'm like, Josh, it was Bennigan's. Who cares? It was Bennigan's. But he was talking about it like, oh man, they had the best fish sticks. I'm so good. I'm like, yeah, it was Bennigan's. They had Bennigan's everywhere. It's like McDonald's, you know. But he really, like, he genuinely treasured this time that we had at this place. And I thought it was so cool. He would always do that. He always tell me about, like, places, things we did or, like, things we saw together that, like, meant so much to him. And it's like, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, you should cherish these things that we do in our lives despite the fact that they're not as profound as other things.
Speaking of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, his little ritual almost every night before he would go to bed, it's like I'd be tired, be like, okay, come on, like, get in bed already, let's just go to bed, and be like, no, like, we have to watch just, like, even half of an episode of South Park or Aqua Teen Hunger Force or something. He every night before he went to bed, he had to watch something, just an episode of, you know, Arrested Development or whatever. And it's just like, it's hard to not want to do that all the time now, because it's like, oh, I'm not watching South Park anymore.
Yeah. I will say Josh is the one who got me to start watching it occasionally once mm-hmm. again. I'm not a religious watcher or anything, but, you know, I'll hit the highlight episodes. And
Something I always appreciated about him is how he seemed like he was the one who was kind of took one for the team.
Yeah, all the time.
Seeing movies in the theater. You'd like see, like, Captivity or...
Yeah, Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some comments about Mirrors a little bit later in the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was never afraid to watch a movie.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that you know, good, bad, or ugly, it's I'll watch it, sure. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he sat through Leonard Part 6 with us, dog punching, dog kicking, all that really.
no question. And I can't even. I don't know if there's any way to calculate how many times he saw the Saw films. How many times? But he loved those films so much. Even if there was something bad about them, and he was always like I'd ask him like the day after, like, you saw Saw 4 or Saw 5, like, well, how was that? And he'd always have like, oh, you know, the acting was bad here, or this didn't make any sense, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you didn't like it? He's like, you kidding? I'm gonna go see it again tonight. You want to go with me? You know, he always find the good in those movies. And it got to the point where he did an episode for us, which was so fantastic because he deconstructs everything about those films, and I gotta say, he had me really wanting to see them, because he made me very curious about them, because he was so learned and so smart when he talked about them. I thought, maybe I'm really missing something. Maybe he really is the one guy to see that these movies are probably going to become horror classics.
And that, just for reference, that is episode 54. Yeah. If you want to go back and listen to his dissertation on the Saw movies.
Yeah, and it's great. It really is.
I think Quentin Tarantino, I think you can trace it back to Quentin Tarantino and Grindhouse, where he really got his love of all kinds of movies.
Yeah.
Seeing the kind of passion that Tarantino, Eli Roth, all those guys have for all these awful, awful movies really helped him, I think, be able to find the gem of any movie at all whatsoever.
And he found the art in those movies, too.
Exactly.
And it's true, there are some art in those films. Not all, but some.
Or the charm or something. He could find that thing that most people are, I'm not going to watch The Stewardesses, really?
Yeah.
Or The Teacher. You know, but he could find that one thing in there, that the charm in there, that would be why people would like that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this brings up something interesting. Okay, so a lot, so there are some people, it's the Saw movies, so we have to, I kind of want to bring this up a little bit. There are some people, including like the guys at Geek Radio Daily, they've said, you know what, from here on out, I'm seeing every Saw movie the day it comes out, because in honor of Josh. This isn't for everyone to do this, just so you know. So I came up with a very interesting counterway, if you'd like to commemorate Josh. When is Josh's birthday again?
May 19th.
I was figuring we should declare May 19th, every May 19th, Death Proof Day. Because that was one of his favorite movies.
That's yeah, it a
was.
Great mm-hmm.
yeah. So, and honestly, Saw is not for everybody. And
it
you
is
know,
most
yeah.
definitely not.
Well, neither is Death Proof, but.
Death Proof's more palatable.
More doable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just throwing that out there. If you'd like to do that, I'll put post reminders and stuff out on the site and what yeah, have you. But...
Or we could do Saw Marathon Day on May 19th.
No.
Oh,
Roxy's done it.
I've done it.
Yeah, and do you ever want to do it ever again?
Not really, but
so just a couple ideas, because we have had people ask, you know, what, you know, just a fun way to do that, you know, kind of commemorate and celebrate the guy's life and all that stuff. So yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's
well, speaking of Saw,
yes.
Me never ever being a horror fan figures I would end up with the fanatical horror Saw fan. And he had to convince me so hard to watch those. I was like, no. Like, even just looking at the posters, I was just like, I don't ever want to watch
he
those.
He had that awful poster.
With the teeth
with the
or the nails. Yeah. Yeah.
With the actual blood in the poster.
Well, that, right, yeah, right. That's hanging in his bedroom now, but that's an awesome poster. Yeah. But yeah, he had to do a lot of convincing to get me to watch those. And then once we did, it was like within like 2 weeks, watched all of them. And he would sit there and talk the whole movie. And I mean, it was, but it was wonderful because I really didn't get it, you know? And without all, it's like, well, oh, well, this part is really going to be about this in this movie, and it ties in here. And it's, oh my gosh, like, I never would have figured out how to just sat there all by myself and watched them. So it's like, he, like you were saying before, it's like he just gets the essence of it. Yeah. And even if you don't appreciate what it is, just, yeah, I actually haven't even listened to episode 54, but it's like, I'm sure anything he has to say about it is just going to change your perspective completely, because I usually do not appreciate any kind of disgusting, nasty horror stuff, but just the meaning behind it is so different, and watching those with him is just like, I'm totally, totally sold on all those.
Yeah, he got me to watch those movies, and I'm not a horror fan, not that kind of horror fan, but he got me to appreciate 2 and 4. You know, I'm like, as the character study, it's a fascinating character study. And people are like, it's torture porn. I'm like, well, I'm not saying you need to go out and watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if you are, there's something interesting to be seen there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But he always had that way of finding the good in a movie.
One of my favorite times with him was when Josh, Roxy, and I went out to see Let the Right One In. It was one of these things where it was one of these nights. It was either going to be really a total disaster because we really didn't know what we were in for. Oh, it was going to be so special. We were driving there. Roxy was driving us down there. It was late because we missed one of the earlier chances to see it at 7 o'clock. So we were going to Denver, not the best neighborhood, to see this movie at about like 9:45 or whatever. And so we knew we were going to get out late, and it was a movie we had not seen the trailer for. We didn't know what we were in for, just that Marty was like, this is a great movie. You have to see it. So the three of us are going down there thinking, great, we're going to see this Swedish vampire movie. This is either going to be really terrible or it's going to be like something a miracle. And I remember beforehand, you took us out to Hard Rock, which was so awesome. We had such a good time. And we sit, I remember even as the movie was starting, we're sitting in the theater like, God, Marty, this had better be a good movie. This is going to be such a waste of our freaking time. Came all the way down Denver. It's snowing. It was like, it's not even safe to be on the road. And the movie starts, and the opening image of the movie is, it's nothing but darkness, and there's snow coming down. And Josh turns to me and he's like, if something jumps out at me right now, I'm going to shit my pants. Pardon my language. And after, I mean, not only did the three of us really like it afterwards, but I remember like the day afterwards seeing Josh in class, and he's like, you know, my mom is still talking about that movie. He's like, I had this really great talk with my mom about the movie this morning. I think it was like over breakfast or something. And as Josh always does, and this is something that always makes me think about him, is he always used to give me a ride to my car after school. I can't even say how much that means to me because I don't park on campus. I park a mile away because it's too expensive. And Josh would always, he would always wait for me after class, even when I was like talking to a student. He was always wait for me, and he always drive me out to my car a mile away, which always meant the world to me. But I do remember like so many of the conversations we had, and one of them being like, did we see the same movie? Like, we're talking about the different levels to Let the Right One In, like, you know, like how you could see it in so many different ways. And yeah, that's one thing I miss about it. But I remember that time being so special that we shared that. And I remember you, Dave, you got to see it later on too. And we were all like, I mean, it was kind of like this thing like with Ink this year. It's kind of this movie where we eventually all drank the Kool-Aid and be like, yes, that is one of the greatest movies of all time. And it just took us this long to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just always appreciated how I'd make like a dick joke or a dead baby joke, and he'd laugh. He'd always laugh at it, and you guys would be like, I just imagine shaking your heads. And
yes, that's what she said. That was fairly classic as well.
Which now I'm making those jokes all the time, and people just think I'm a huge pervert. So.
Well, the best is that Josh would sometimes be sitting here. We'd record an episode, and he would throw them out like at any of like it didn't matter, you know. It didn't matter what the heck the joke was, or rather what we just said. He would always, you know, throw out a "that's what she said" joke. Something that Julia brought up that's really funny is, remember we went and saw that 3D horror movie, My Bloody Valentine. You remember that?
Yes.
We saw it back in February. And it was one thing that was so funny. I remember Julia thought this was really funny too. We're watching My Bloody Valentine in 3D, and there's a point in the movie where it's like gratuitous nudity for about 10 minutes of this naked blonde lady like running towards the camera in digital Dolby 3D. I remember Josh like turning to me and he said, "Best movie ever."
Well, okay. So you have a few more movies you wanted to bring up.
Recently, we had watched a lot of movies. We actually used your gift card to Entertain Mart.
Hey,
and
gift
we
that
got
keeps on giving.
Lord of War, because that's one of my favorite movies. Come to find out, my dad actually does own the real DVD, so I'm like, why did we buy this now? But he got Scream, because he previously owned it, but then really wanted me to see it, which... He thought I was going to think it was all scary, and I don't know, but that was the last movie he saw, and we saw it together. And actually really enjoyed it, because it seemed like it was made in the 80s or something, but it really isn't that old. And the whole beginning with Drew Barrymore, I just loved it. So
that is like the scary moment of the movie, and mm-hmm. it's a heck of a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And... We bought something else with your gift card, and I don't remember now. But first thing he did was go to the posters and tried to convince me to buy one more Death
Grindhouse poster
that he didn't have. And it was like, sweetie, you have like four of these that look exactly alike. When are we ever going to have the wall space to hang every single one of these? I was like, no, you are not getting that poster. So we went and caught movies instead.
It's one of my favorite memories of Comic-Con. The first night that we were at this hotel, we watched the complete Grindhouse, the theatrical version of Grindhouse, on pay TV at this hotel. Everybody else, like in all the other hotel rooms, like, you know, they're getting porn. But Josh and I are like watching Grindhouse, you know, 3 hours worth of Grindhouse. And we had such a good time. I mean, remember we ate like Twinkies and popcorn. I mean, just like, it was like being in college watching it with him. We were just like laughing and like, yay, nudity, explosions, yay. You know, but it had like, you know, but it was the way Grindhouse is meant to be seen, with the trailers and everything. And
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Machete.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Does anyone want to chime in with anything else before we kind of start wrapping this up?
We went to the midnight of Watchmen, and that was in March, like early March. I mean, we hadn't even been dating that long, and it was like he had me totally sold on that too. I didn't even know anything about it hardly. He tried to explain the comic to me. Still haven't ever read that. And it was like, I don't even know why. I was just so excited to go see it. And then we go see it, and I remember like rampantly taking notes on my checkbook register to write a review for you guys, because I was like, oh no, I'm not gonna remember any of this. And I don't even hardly remember seeing the movie because it was so late, and I think we got home at like 3:30 or in the morning or something, because it was so effing long. And that, even though I don't remember the movie, it was definitely a good experience. But damn, I will never go see a 3-hour long movie at night again. And we had just recently rewatched that too, and rewatching it and like coherently understanding it, because it's not past your bedtime, is, it's, love that film. So very good.
Very cool.
I do want to bring up Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, duh. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to come up in an email later anyway. Yeah. So yes, by all means.
Josh and I took a trip up to Denver, and we saw it in this theater that was...
Dangerously
scary. I didn't know if my tires were going to be on my car when we got out. We got in there. The air conditioning was broke, but this hot air was blowing out on us. And it had a funky smell to it and the whole thing. So we really had a great experience.
You had the full Grindhouse experience.
We did.
Yeah, yeah.
And we loved it. Just had to throw that in.
That's awesome. I remember I watched it with him in his, you call it your basement or your second story, whatever it is. I remember watching it with him, and like, it was so great, because, you know, it's Midnight Meat Train. I gotta admit, I liked the movie. I did. But, you know, like 30 minutes in the movie, I'm like, oh gosh, this is really gross. He's like, notice the way the head falls. Look how great that is. That's like CGI, but it's also a real model. They put CGI on the head. He's like talking about it like the way, you know, like Dave and I would talk about a Hitchcock movie. You know, it's Midnight Meat Train. But it was so awesome. And I remember like a week later or whatever, we were watching Critters down in the basement of his down there too. And we were just like, you know, this is terrible, but, you know. But there's something to be said about movies that are so entertaining, as opposed to all the films that are quote-unquote in capital letters important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to read some emails and listen to voicemails and all kinds of stuff still. But should we talk about the Austin trip ever so briefly too?
Yes.
we one of Josh's dreams, was this like his biggest dream to do, or it was just a big one that he just wanted to, like one of those things you want to do?
It was up there.
Is that, I think Melissa was one of his biggest dreams.
Yeah. Well, there's that, yes. Yeah. Well, that tops the list. That's kind of a given, yes. But he wanted to always take a trip down to Austin to go visit the sets of Death Proof. And so I think early November we're talking now. We're going to try to make the trip down there. And
we'll figure it out. We gotta talk to Chuck, too. We got to figure it all out.
Okay, but we're going to do the trip. Yes, we're doing the trip.
It's happening, yeah.
So that's going to be a fun trip. And just more fun to reminisce and just have a blast.
Yeah.
We have received a lot of feedback about this. I want to pull up some emails. Let me just pull some up here and then we'll get this going here.
At least he stopped calling girls broads.
That's the perfect time to bring the show back in. I'm just saying.
What's he like from the 30s or something?
He never said that when I was around him, but I know that he told me he used to say that and you would hate it.
Oh,
and
I got all over him for that.
I think that's his bad CU Boulder influence.
Yeah.
Oh, the CU Boulder stories. This is why I wish Dave was here for this, because I'm sure he could tell us some doozies.
And I got to mention really quick that he made me a convert to this place called Half-Ass Subs whenever we'd go to Boulder. Yeah, I got to mention that because, like, I swear, now, like, I go to Boulder, I tell Julie I'm going to, like, the video station to receive for, no, I'm going to Half-Ass Subs. I love this place. And he made me stand in line with him for about, like, this was, like, forever to get one of those subs. But it's, like, it's this magical, mystical place. Anybody who's a sandwich connoisseur has to go to Half-Ass Subs. They have over 100 different sandwich varieties. If you think that's not possible, they've got, like, this.
They have, like, turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes on one of them.
Yeah, it's a sandwich. Yeah, it's amazing. So amazing. Yeah. So that's another thing.
All right. Let's go ahead and start the emails up. Sorry, pause that, folks. Then you came in the middle of nowhere, but it's okay. This is good stuff. I want to read some excerpts from different emails that we've got. First one, some of them we're going to read in their entirety. I'll read Valencia's first because she's our biggest fan, and it's a fairly short email, but we have a voicemail from her as well, so we'll cap it off with that. It was sent a couple Saturdays ago. So I finally got around to writing this email, even though I've had some idea of what I was going to write for some time now. When I first heard of his passing, I seriously cried as if he was my brother, like I am now. I will miss him a lot. I've gone over random episodes, two of the live shows, and the Origin of Screen Geeks episode. I have more to say, but I honestly can't finish. Hugs and guys to you guys who really knew him. This is just going to be a sampling of what we're going to be hearing a whole lot of. From Domingos, from, let me make sure, Portugal. I didn't want to get your country wrong, dude. I wouldn't want to offend you that way. But he's saying how much he loves the show and everything. He loved listening to him and that he touched all with his love for film, and some guy he never heard of all the way across the Atlantic to a small city in Portugal. When I and my friends of mine that also listen to your show got together, we always talked about how nice a guy he seemed to be and his huge love of the horror genre. Let's come over to here from our good friend Alex over at scifipundit.blogspot.com. Just an excerpt from his. I felt as if I knew him from the podcast your crew did every week. I will continue to listen to your show, but I know there will be an emptiness that may never be filled, and maybe it shouldn't be. To always remember what he brought to the show each week. Which, yeah, this is, wow. This is the kind of the sad part, so sorry, everyone.
Thank you, everybody, for the emails. This is wonderful, wonderful.
Absolutely. From our good friend Mark Smith, his sense of humor and appreciation of good and even bad films showed him to be a fantastic film critic. I only got the chance in the last couple of weeks to talk to Josh, but I feel lucky to have at least gotten the chance to talk to him personally. That was the thing. If you ever messaged him on anything, he'd always talk to it back to you all mm-hmm. the time. Let's see here. We got just a couple more here. Actually, just one more email that we'll read for today. This is from Billy Flynn over at Geek Radio Daily, good friend of the show. And I'll read his full one too, because I think this sums up pretty well why a lot of people love Josh. It starts off, my introduction to Josh was through podcasting. Josh is one of the guys on the show with Dave and Barry. The more I listened, the more I heard of Josh, and I started to see a few parallels. Josh was a big fan of horror movies, as was I. He was starting to really get into film. Josh cracked me up on many occasions. It was cool to listen to his reactions to flicks I'd seen and remember my own film journey. Somewhere along the way, a strange thing happened. I learned a little bit about Josh's family and could only think of how cool it was to see things like Black Christmas with the family. I once saw Halloween 4 at a midnight showing with my mom. I learned about Josh's classes and what he was up to. Josh became this guy I knew. We would even communicate, somewhat. It started with writing letters to the Screen Geek Show and hearing Josh's responses to my various theories about films. And being that we live in the future, we would pass along a message on Facebook or Twitter. I was supposed to meet Josh at Starfest this past year, but due to schedules, we laughingly said, eh, maybe next year. Somewhere along the way, Josh became a friend of mine and someone I cared about. I can only imagine what the loss must be like to those closest to him. There are quite a few folks like myself out there. People who have lost this voice we laughed with, we will all miss him. I'm pretty sure I'll still hear him say that was pretty cool when I was watching a movie he would have enjoyed. Goodbye, Josh. So, thank you, Mr. Flynn, for that. Guess I'm going to go ahead and play this voicemail now. We're going to give some shout-outs to various people who have said wonderful things, too, and we will go from there.
I know I sent in an email, but I wanted to finish what I meant to add to it. I love listening to the dynamics of the four of you because of the generation gap, even if it's by, what, 10 years. And it was interesting to me, and between having Melissa being a part of it eventually, I thought was both awesome and sweet. The last Josh-related show I actually picked to listen to was the Scott episode. Forgot that was an actual live show until I kept listening. I don't know why, but I always found it fascinating that along with working with Barry on the show, he was also one of his students. Which I thought was awesome, too. I forgot, did y'all make him go see Mirrors, or did he volunteer for that one? I know sometimes y'all did that. You either had to volunteer, or y'all just made him do it. All I remember about that episode, when he reported that he, when he saw it, was how he did not like it, which made me ask on the first live show what was worse. That are happening. And I love that I kind of got to know him. And that's all. And I'm mad that anything Josh related will leave me in tears now. But I really appreciate the show. And I really appreciate Josh and his laugh and everything that I knew or can remember about him. All right. Bye.
Thank you for the laugh, Valencia, about Mirrors. He saw that all by himself. Well, you went to, I meant of his own volition. We didn't make him go.
I think I influenced him to go see that because I thought it looked like it had possibilities. So he did go because of me.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to play a little clip right now of this very special review that he made of Mirrors.
Can I please talk about Mirrors?
Yeah, let's just start with this.
I even hold off to you guys. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. I have to get the bleep button ready.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'm
please.
Ready.
Because kid theory.
Censor standby.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you got this movie where Keith or Sutherland is a police officer, I guess, at this old burnt down museum shopping mall where... I guess like it burned down, but there's curtains up still, and and I guess you know he's checking out. He's a drunk. He's lost his wife, and it's Mrs. Doubtfire all over.
Oh my God! So a horror version.
You have yeah, like Mrs. honestly, like I really okay. Preface: I really wanted to like this movie. I like Hills of Eyes. I will defend Hills of Eyes. And I love High Tension. I love High Tension. And Alexander Andre, or whatever his name is.
Aja.
Aja? Oh, my God. Why? Why did you do this movie? So he's guarding this museum, and it's burnt down, and the curtains are still up, and the mannequins are still up, and he's... there's like ghosts in the mirrors, and somehow it's like 24. It's like a bad episode of 24, and he gets Tourette's halfway through, and he's calling his wife, and he goes, "Don't look in the water because there's reflections and mirrors," and he hangs up, and like honestly, like this is the worst. This is so bad. I was laughing so hard.
So is this Kiefer Sutherland's A Man Apart?
Yes, but oh, worse than that. Worse than that. Worse than that. And my mom was trying to like it, but I was laughing so hard that she couldn't. I mean, by the time that he said, like the 46th time, I was like, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. So, I mean, and finally, it all narrows down to, and spoiler, if you're going to see the movie, it's a ghost that's in a nun that he tracks down and brings back to the museum. And the ghost comes out, and she's like, The Exorcist. I mean, like, me explaining the movie just makes no sense.
That's right. The other movie I saw, it's like when I try to describe Pineapple Express.
It's worse than that. I would sit through Pineapple like 6 times before seeing this.
But with how long it is, it feels more like 12. Sorry.
So bad. I would honestly watch like all 12 seasons of 24 before I would see this again. This is so bad. So bad. And it pisses me off. I'm so upset because why did Midnight Meat Train get dumped and then this shit comes out?
Fair enough.
I'm sorry.
I missed the bleep.
Yeah, you missed that one.
That's okay. Yeah, that was a special time. That's the most exercise that bleep button has ever had before or ever will have again in a single episode. I'd like to do a few shout outs for some people who've just said nice things, whether it be on shows, websites, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. People like Peter Sreder over at Slash Film and Dave Chen, the entire Geek Radio Daily crew, the Jesus Geeks podcast, they made a point of talking about Josh while Chris, who's in our prayers right now as well, he's been going through back surgery because he's had such physical issues. And he made a point of making a side post about this because of how much that he loves the show, you know, and we're just good friends. And you can hear what pain he's in. And, you know, Chris, you're a good man, both you and Cliff. The good guys over at Film Junk, you know, that was one of Josh's favorite podcasts. I know that. He loved listening to you guys all the time. T. Morris, Philippa Ballantyne, everyone over at Cinematical, Jay Lynn, G-Man Reviews, First Time Caller, Film School Rejects. I'm sure there are people I'm missing. Thank you so much, everyone. It really means a lot to have that kind of support and love. And, you know, I know that I sure didn't understand what kind of relationship we had with y'all before all this happened. And we appreciate that very much.
Thank you to Valencia and Billy Flynn and all. We read all the emails. We listened to all the voicemails. We really appreciate them so much.
Yeah, and you will be getting emails back from us. So if you haven't yet, it's just taking a while because, you know, life happens. But thank you, everyone, very much. Even if we didn't read your email, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have something, a few little special things at the end of the show after the outro music. But there's really no way to transition out of it, so let's just transition into what's hitting theaters this week.
Searing theaters this week. Let's see. Well,
actually, you know, there's one thing left. Ethan, you said this. Like when you first saw Inglourious Basterds, what did you put on your Twitter?
I actually can't remember.
You said, awesome. You said that I loved Inglourious Basterds and I hate the fact that I can't talk with Josh about how cool it was.
Yeah.
Because he would have absolutely loved that movie. The funny thing was at the gravesite, I don't know if you heard this, but Cody told me, he was like, I'm going to go buy that the day it comes out and put it at the gravesite. It was before it even came out. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. He would have dug that movie. So that's going to be something interesting. Every time we see a good movie, yes. Josh is going to be missed a lot. Never forgotten, but missed.
Right.
So yes. All right. Now let's talk about.
It's September, so the studio's got to take out the trash sometimes. You've got Pandorum, which has been all over the release schedule. It's been pushed back so many times. Could be good. This is with Dennis Quaid. Futuristic movie. Takes place in a haunted spaceship. Never seen that before.
Not an Event Horizon or anything like that.
No, never. Fame. It's back. Why? For some reason.
Can you like sing a song from that? Because that's supposed to be famous, but I don't know if I've heard of it before.
All right. For you, I will.
Oh.
Fame. I want to live forever.
Okay. Okay. You're off the hook, sir.
Thank you.
Officially.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So Fame is back in theaters. Who knows?
Okay. Let's bring up Fame real quick.
Okay.
As people who are old enough to have seen Fame, can this movie be possibly relevant today? Because the TV show and the movie were pretty groundbreaking for the time.
For its time.
In the social issues that they just could tackle and stuff. What are they going to tackle now?
In the So You Think You Could Dance American Idol world of like people who go from nothing to becoming Kelly Clarkson. Yes. In that sense, yes. In terms of that school, I think it'll be kind of a way of relearning about the whole fame thing, how that fame school was real and how those students actually did go out and make something of their lives. And just one of those inspirings, you know, it's kind of like Step Up or any of those movies, like, you know, about, you know, seriously going from having nothing in the hood and going to being, you know, being a success, being a Broadway dancer, being, you know, or being a singer or an actor or an actress. That's what the appeal of fame. That's always been the appeal. You know, Fame also had the TV show with Janet Jackson, but that's another story altogether. I will see this film. I will take that one for the team. But okay, oh, Roxanne and I go see it together.
I was going to pick a Take One for the Team movie, but okay, thanks for seeing
that. I'm just saying, I don't know if it can have the same social relevance that the original had.
I think you're right. I think it'll be, if it is relevant, and I think that depends on how good the movie is. If it's relevant, it'll be because in a really different way, in the, like I said, the American Idol way. But in terms of like, there are more schools now than there were when Fame is out that support the arts, even though there's been a lot of cutbacks in the arts. So who knows? Maybe it'll be relevant. Maybe it'll be one of the best films of the year. Stay tuned, listeners. What else?
Best picture nominees.
You never know. You never know.
Hey, if it's hard out here for a pimp can win an Oscar,
exactly.
Anything can.
If Eminem can win an Academy Award before Martin Scorsese, yes, who knows? All right. There's some interesting stuff coming out, too. Surrogates. I'm interested in this one. Dave and I are interested in this. This is Bruce Willis. This is Jonathan Mostow, director of Breakdown. I'm curious to see this one. In limited release, you got The Boys Are Back with Clive Owen, which looks so cheeseball to me. This is him doing like one of those feel-good, heart, I love you kids movies. Looks cheesy, cheeseball.
That's totally what I think of when I think of Clive Owen, too.
I know. Mr.
By
Warm
way.
And Fuzzy.
Total boner for Clive Owen. Yeah, Josh had that.
And that was
That's
our
true.
Soundbite of the week by Melissa.
That's true. You know, the love of shoot 'em up.
That's right.
Yes.
God.
That he made us eat carrots every time somebody got shot during the film.
Oh,
because
we got
beginning,
sick of carrots. Yeah.
Like in 5 minutes.
Yeah. We ate bags of them.
That is awesome. There is one movie I do need to mention that's coming in. Limited release, Paranormal Activity. This is one of the scariest looking movies of the year. It's a Blair Witch-like film. For those of you who haven't seen the trailer, Blair Witch-like film. It's filmed in this couple's bedroom while they are sleeping at night. And all the scary things that happen because their house is haunted. This movie was made for dirt cheap. Very few special effects. It looks freaking terrifying. It is only opening in limited release. The idea is that Paramount wants the word of mouth to kick in. Basically, they're not going to spend a cent on this movie that only costs $10,000 to make. Here is where you can see it. If you live in Texas, Los Angeles, Florida, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nebraska, Wichita, Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Santa Cruz, California, and Boulder. We're getting it in Boulder.
Sweet.
We're only getting it in Boulder.
We have to go to Half
Boulder,
Fast
yeah.
and go
yes.
see
Yes.
Yeah, the trailer looks kind of crazy.
It really does look really frightening.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to be that good, but you never know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's sometimes the necessity is a mother invention, so.
Exactly. Well, this is, well, you know, it's weird. It's 10 years after Blair Witch, almost 10 years exactly after they released Blair Witch, so who knows? It does look like another creepy Blair Witch movie, so yes. We'll all make a pilgrimage down to Boulder to see this movie opening the 25th. And that's it for film releases.
Wait, isn't Michael Moore's new movie coming out next week?
Does it?
I think it does.
Shame on me. Yes,
it
Michael Moore's.
Okay.
Is it Capitalism, a Love Story?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's either this Friday or next Friday at some point. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. One of us will take it for the team. I won't go see that one.
How is that a Take One for the Team movie?
I don't know. I'm kind of burnt down on Michael Moore, to tell you the truth. And how do you feel about him, Dave?
I'm not the one to talk to about Michael Moore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just say I'm just not looking forward to it. I still haven't seen Sicko, even though I heard that was a pretty good movie. But yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy his stuff.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you go see it, we'll discuss it. And if you really like it, Ethan, I swear I will go see it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. DVD releases?
Yes.
DVD release is coming in soon to DVD September the 29th. We got Monsters vs. Aliens. I dug this movie. Fun movie.
and that got a tongue stick out for Melissa. Dang.
Can't get more of a thumbs down than that.
The Wizard of Oz, the Ultimate Collector's Edition, 70th Anniversary Collector's Edition.
So you can get the 2-disc DVD, or you can get, like, I don't know if it's like the 2-disc plus digital copy coaster gift set with like 4 8x10 posters and DVD and Blu-ray as well.
Wow.
Or I'll just keep my 3-disc edition that has like 6 different Wizard of Oz movies on it.
Jeez. My auntie used to have the plate set, like an actual dish set of different characters in each dish. I was just to eat dinner at her house, just like a look through her glass cabinets and look at her amazing, Aunt Charlotte's amazing Wizard of Oz dish set.
Is it like the Star Trek plates?
Like exactly. Starfest? Okay. Like the Star Trek plates, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. What else? Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. Is this any good, Dave?
I don't know. I have the comic. This is another line in the DC Direct Animation series. They're doing a series. I believe Lex Luthor is president at this point. It's been a while since I've read it.
But Johnny Depp is Superman?
No.
I was a little confused about that too, but no, barely.
Wow, no. It's based off the first 6 issues, I want to say, of the Batman Superman comic book series. Yes, I'm that big a nerd that I know which issues it covers.
Okay. That's why we're screen geeks.
It's a good series, and I'm very hopeful. I can't wait to check it out.
Okay. One of the most overrated films of the year. I like this cast, John Krasinski, Maya Rudolph, and Away We Go.
It wasn't really that well received, was it?
It got good reviews. I mean, it wasn't
I liked it, but it was, I don't think it really got that good reviews.
Did pretty well in limited release. Eh. Oh, well. Yeah. Away we go. Away it went. Also, How I Met Your Mother, Season 4. Good show. Neil Patrick Harris. Can't go wrong. The Unit, Season 4. Life on Mars, the complete series with Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, the series that lasts like a whole season.
I love when they say the complete series. It should be like the canceled series or like, you know, 4 episodes you really liked. But no, it's the complete series of Life on Mars. Love it when they do that. Let's see. Before we get to the fun stuff, let's just throw out the Blu-rays. You got the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jessica Biel. Because you got to see that on Blu-ray. Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal. I'd worry about seeing Dark Crystal. Like, do you think maybe see like the felt on the puppets?
Probably.
I'd worry about that.
That could be cool, though.
Could be. Like, look at the staples. Snakes on a Plane. Snakes on a Plane, because you've got to get that on Blu-ray. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, a movie that Billy Flynn is always telling me I need to see, and I'm too much of a wuss to see that film. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, because it finally just had to come to Blu-ray. Finally, Facing the Giants and Fireproof. So now you get to see Kirk Cameron and all that gritty Blu-ray texture.
Okay. Also, I was going to convert to Judaism, but now I'm going to have to convert to something else.
There you go. And then finally, release on DVD, you got Madonna Celebration, the video collection. If you're a fan of David Fincher, you need to own this and see this at least. Management, a theater clearing stinker with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Zahn. This is the one about the guy who's obsessed with her butt. Don't see it. Steve Soderbergh's The Girlfriend Experience with Sasha Grey. Ethan, you and I saw this, right?
Yeah, together.
That's right, together, somehow. I like this movie. Didn't you like it?
Yeah, it was interesting.
I thought it was pretty cool. Guild, Season 1 and 2.
Woohoo! The Felicia Day series that horrifies my wife in some ways. Because it's essentially about a bunch of World of Warcraft players with no life. But it pretty much applies to any kind of online video game.
Like any kind of fandom.
Yes, and it's kind of scary sometimes how you're like, I know this person, I know this person.
Cool.
Well, kind of. It kind of hurts a little bit, but it's fun.
I think it's on Hulu. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's on YouTube too.
Oh, very good. Stepfather 2, the special edition. Kind of weird this is coming out before Stepfather Uno, and Stepfather 2 is not as good, but if you're a completist. Real Ghostbusters, the collector's edition.
This has like 4 or 5 steelbooks. It's like a steelbook for each season, all inside of a firehouse case. And it's like the cartoon firehouse. Yeah.
That is freaking awesome.
I think Josh has that firehouse toy.
Awesome.
Nice. Which is about 3 feet tall or so?
Yeah.
Nice.
House Party, the collection, 4 films. I've been waiting for years, Dave, for a House Party like special edition. They've never done it, but this is the next best thing. This is all 4 House Party movies on DVD. You only need the first one, but still.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you.
House Party all the way. And then finally, our crap title of the week, which Dave so cleverly found. I missed this one.
I don't know. I still can't believe they titled it this.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is a quote, ladies and gentlemen, off of Amazon. Cagney and Lacey, the menopause years.
What?
I had to reread that title about 6 times before I'd actually type it up. Because I'm like, there's no... No, it... Okay.
The menopause years.
What? Why? Where does that come from?
Do you know what Cagney and Lacey is?
James Cagney?
No, it's a female cop show. It's a
from the 80s.
There were two ladies. Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was,
that makes sense.
Yeah, but still.
But this is them in their menopause years.
Okay.
Because they fight crooks and menopause. That makes sense. Yeah, the battle rages on.
Chasing a guy and then the hot flash kicks in.
That's right. That's right.
Couldn't be worse than Policewoman.
That's right, Policewoman.
Wow. Okay. Let me see here. Is there anything else we need to play before we get to this voicemail? I don't think so. We do have a piece of voicemail related to last week's episode talking about Castle a little bit. So let's go ahead and play that.
John Sumlick, and I'm calling from Russia, where I currently reside. From your last show, show number 88, I wanted to make a second on the show you talked about Castle, which starts sometime soon, and I'm looking forward to it. But I just want to say that I think that show needs to solve one problem, and that is the fact that in every show, they need to come up with some lame excuse about why Rick Castle, if that's his name, is working alongside the police, even though he's not a policeman and he doesn't have the right to be there and all that stuff. It just seems to get ever so lame, and now I could tolerate it for about 10 episodes or whatever it was last season, but to tolerate that for a full season of 24 or whatever, I just think they've got to come up with some better way to do it. It's like the Worf problem that existed in the TNG movies, where they had to figure out a way to explain why Worf was not at DS9. But in those cases, that was only 3 movies, if I remember, and they could do it with a relatively innocuous line that mainly the TV fans would get in, that a lot of the other more general Star Trek fans wouldn't really pay attention to anyway. But in this case, they've got to come up with something better. I also hope that they don't go down the inevitable romance between Castle and the main cop character. I can't remember her name. I just find that a bit. I'm getting more than that than I want in Bones, and I don't know, but it's probably inevitable. Anyway, love the show. Bye.
Thanks for giving us a call, John. I'm sorry that I answered the phone when you called the first time, because I just wasn't paying attention. I should have thought, oh, it's someone leaving a voicemail. Instead, I just answer, hello? So, yes, but thank you. I sorry to cut off the beginning of your voicemail. It just kind of happened in the transfer process. But, Barry, you wanted to chime in about this.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I appreciate it. I think it'd be great if, like, one of the cops was like, you know, Castle, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks, Make-A-Wish Foundation. You know, like, I love that they just throw out like that, like you're saying, like the one line, like, good thing you're here, you know.
It's like the Whose Line Is It Anyway gag, where they used to do bringing all the superheroes.
Yeah.
Thank God you're here, expendable lad, you know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I totally agree. Just one line, just to make you feel good about the...
But it is going to be kind of a stretch to do it for a full season. I can see the reason for concern.
Sure.
And the romance, I don't. We'll see what happens. Mm. Yeah. If you want to shoot us an email, you absolutely can. You can shoot us an email to podcast Barry, Ethan, Dave, or Melissa, all at screengeeks.com. You can call us at 719-553-5664. Also, I wanted to make a few shout-outs real quick. First of all, I got to see Jonathan Colton and Paul and Storm over the weekend, and that was an incredible good show. If you're a geek and like good music, that's a little folksy, but wrong in so many ways. You need to check them out, see if they're coming to a city near you. I'm actually made a bootleg of it that I'm going to be posting. And they gave us drops, too, so that was very cool. Our thanks to the good folks from Inc., Jamin and Kiowa, M.A. Aquaker, I figured out how to pronounce his last name finally, and Jeremy Make, all coming out for the screening down at the Lon Chaney Theater. And you're hosting the next one in the Springs.
October the 9th, 7 o'clock, UCCS. Be there. Bring your family. Let it be like Woodstock. May hundreds of people just show up.
I have the feeling that's going to get packed out.
I hope so, because we're hoping that it's just going to be packed.
Do we need to buy tickets for it?
Nope.
Okay.
Free to the public. It is free. First come, first served.
Just like Woodstock, it's free.
We will be there.
Yeah. Or something.
Or Waynestock.
Wow. There you go. And Ethan, are you going to continue your series on Night Court?
Yeah, I've got only one disc left, but...
All right, well then let's go ahead and wrap this up. Next week, I don't remember what we're doing. I think we might be continuing the Fincher series, but we will see. But until then, we'll figure it out. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
This is Ethan.
And Melissa.
Take it easy.
this were an after-school special, ooh, you'd pay a bittersweet price for your little deceit. Like getting big oily zits or eating off the same plate as David Lee Roth. Ew. Blah. Go. Ooh. Ew. Oh, it's the plate. And he's been on it. Don't you understand? Oh, think about it. I'll be over talking with Jill.
Sure, I could have stayed in the past. Could have even been king. But in my own way, I am king. Hail to the king, baby.